What if Elisha had listened to Elijah? What if the first time Elijah said, "Stay here because the Lord has called me to the Jordan," what would have happened? That's why I hate what ifs, because you know you're always going on a limb if you actually answer. But go out on that limb. Trust me. Go out on the limb. What might have happened if Elisha listened to Elijah? If he stayed where originally they started out and didn't follow him, there's a chance that he wouldn't have seen him go up into heaven, because unless he, you know, I don't know how far away they were from the Jordan. I think it was a fair distance. But the thing that is interesting is he probably would have received the Holy Spirit, but if he would have listened to Elijah, who said, "Stay here," and not followed him, he wouldn't have experienced what he experienced. The next time, they go to Bethel, right? And then they go to Jericho or Gilgal. And what happens there? The same thing, right? Can you put up the lesson on the screen, please? So Elisha, we're on their way from Gilgal, and Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were there in Bethel came out to Elisha and said, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he said, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." I always find this fascinating. Elijah had told Elisha that he was going to be taken, right? We know that. Elisha knew, and he goes from Gilgal to Bethel, and the prophets come out, and they tell him the same thing. And what does he say? "Yes, I know. Keep quiet." Because is it not discouraging? Right? He's been following Elijah. He's been his disciple. He's been, you know, with him. And now he's going to lose him. And it's discouraging. And so he says, "Keep quiet." And my question is, what if Elijah would have just said, "Okay, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay at Bethel. I'm just going to give up." When we get discouraged, isn't that an option for us? And we go through hard times, and we go through things where people disappoint us, where things aren't exactly what we think they're supposed to be, would it be easy for us, like Elisha, to just say, "I'm not going to go any further"? Right? And he even had an invitation. That's what's so cool here. He had an invitation from his master to indeed stay. Right? Elijah gave Elisha an out. Isn't that awesome? Most of the time when we're discouraged, most of the time when we need, when we're in a situation where things are really hard in our life, do very many people give us an out? It doesn't happen very often. In some ways, it would be really nice if we got an out. But the reality is, Elisha was given an out, and yet he says to Elijah, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." This is the second time he said that. "I will not leave you." It's interesting because it would be easy for him. Again, how many of us want to go into a situation where we know we might be discouraged? Or we know we could be, you know, disappointed. And yet he says, "No, I'm not going to leave you." And so they went to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it." Keep quiet. Here we go again. Same thing. He decides to go and be obedient. I think he's being obedient to his heart. I think he's being obedient to what he feels needs to happen. I think he's saying, "Okay, master, you gave me an out, but I will not leave you. I have not left you thus far. I'm not going to leave you until the end." And yet, he's got an invitation from Elijah, and he also gets an invitation from the prophets, basically to accept the fate and say, "Okay, fine." Then Elijah says to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, as long as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. Let's keep going. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, and they both were standing by the Jordan. Now, this is where Elijah really gives him the final thing. You know, everything comes in threes, right? When it seems like God has this thing about threes, but, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all that kind of stuff. And he says to him, then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water, and the Jordan and the water was parted to one side and to the other till the two of them could go over on dry ground. This would be pretty impressive, don't you think? Don't you think if you were Elijah, you'd be saying, I'm good with having what he has? No? You don't think so? To be able to part the water with your cloak and basically walk across on dry ground, you don't think that you'd be okay with that? That would be enough for you? Pardon me? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be, you know, it would be enough, you would think. But yet there's something interesting about Elisha. Because when he's asked, and when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, and this is what always impressed me. That's why I wanted to kind of look at this today, because I was thinking to myself, here's a guy who is faithful, obedient. I mean, I think that, you know, he should have been satisfied if he just got the spirit that Elijah had, which was going to be passed on to him. But he says this, he says, please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me. Just think about this for a second. A double portion of Elijah's spirit. Now, didn't Elijah raise people from the dead? Did he not do like Jesus, miracles that cannot be explained? Did he not just part the Jordan? I mean, wasn't it enough? But yet, he asked for a double portion of his spirit. And he said, you have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so. Brothers and sisters, the reason I wanted to look at this today, because I, of course, love the transfiguration. I love the fact that when you see Jesus transfigured before the disciples, you get to see him inside out. You get to see the truth of who Christ really is. You get to hear God say, this is my son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. I mean, it's a powerful message. And I love the way that the ESV that we read in the gospel lesson said, you know, and after everything happened, they were there with Jesus only. And I was thinking, how good is that? I mean, after you've seen this, you know, Elijah and Moses, and Peter said, I want to make tents for you, and I want to stay on this mountaintop experience, to just have Jesus back was more than enough. Was more than enough for them. And my prayer for us is that we would pray, that we would be obedient, and when we go through these hard times, and I don't know, have you been feeling like you've been going through hard times? And have you had hard times, experiences where you're kind of wondering, Lord, what's happening? Why am I going through this? I don't know. It seems to me like when we go through those times, the Lord offers us the same thing as Elijah. We could sit back and just simply, or Elisha, we could sit back and simply say, okay, I'm a child of God. I know my identity. I know I have salvation. It's enough. And yet the neat thing about Elisha is he said, no, I want more. And if it was wrong for him to want more, would he receive the double portion? It's a trick question. Was it wrong for him to want more? Obviously not. And he received that double portion when he saw Elijah being taken up into heaven on as we see here, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. My question for us is, are we willing to stay with it? Are we willing, like Elisha, to stay with it? Are we going to settle? That's my question. Because he could have stayed at Bethel, right? He would have been obedient. He already received the Holy Spirit as Elijah's apprentice. He could have stayed there. He could have stayed in Jericho. He could have stayed on the west side of the Jordan. Couldn't he have? It would have been enough. Yet because he was obedient to his heart and he wanted more of the right thing, he wasn't satisfied with enough. He wanted more. And that's my prayer for us, is that we will want more. Because couldn't we all just do the minimum? Couldn't we? We know we're saved by grace. Couldn't we just do the minimum? I used to say Lutherans, they used to call Lutherans the frozen chosen. I used to say Lutherans are going to be famous for getting into heaven with flames on their exterior. They're always kind of just, okay, what do I, okay, I'm saved by grace. But it's the sanctification side that is the hard one, right? I'll just be honest with you. To live on that side where we want more of God, where we want more love, more power, more authority, when we strive to do what God wants us to do, I'm telling you right now, you're going to be told, if you do this, just like Elisha was, you're going to be told by God what to do, and it's going to be tough. Do you think it was when Elijah said to Elisha that this is a hard thing, that do you think he was meaning it would be hard for God to give Elisha a double portion? No. That was actually the trick question, not the other question. This is the trick question. No, it wasn't. As a matter of fact, a lot of people read it that way. Yet when you read it in context, what he's saying is, it's going to be even harder for Elisha if he gets a double portion, because what did Jesus tell us? For those who are given much, much is expected. So if you strive to be a teacher in the church, if you strive to be an elder, if you strive to be anyone that is given responsibility, what does Jesus say? If you've been given much, much will be expected or demanded even. And that makes people leery, doesn't it? Because the Bible tells us, and this is what really is scary to me, is that if you desire that, you're going to be judged harsher. And as a pastor, that is freak. You know, that really is tough. I make sure to tell Jim that as he's preparing to go to seminary. You know, it's tough. Because you're going to be asked to do things that you don't want to do. I'd just be honest with you. We were at the prayer summit, and one of the pastors said to me, we were talking about a situation in the church that's really tough, that where a church is kind of going off into an area that is very at odds with Scripture. And we're talking about how do we, deal with it as brothers and sisters in Christ from all different denominations. And we were talking about that, and I just told him, I said, you know what? I had to be honest with you. I didn't get into this to be disliked. I didn't go through college and through seminary to be a jerk. I did not want to be a pastor so that people would look at me and say, this guy is not nice. But when you tell people the truth, and this is why when I shared yesterday, St. Valentine's Day, I interrupted in the middle of the verse in 1 Corinthians 13 where it says, love does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices in the truth. And I started there, but love rejoices in the truth. And I said all the things that love is, because if you could concentrate on all the things that love is, you don't have time to worry about what love is not. It's like if you try to do all the things that God tells us to do, will you have time to do all the things you're not supposed to? And yet, I have to be honest with you, it is tough today. It is tough today to tell people the truth. Because it's not politically correct. It goes counter to the whole idea of nice and loving. I'm sorry. I think that's what Elijah was trying to tell Elisha. If you want a double portion of the Spirit, it's going to be tough. Because you are going to be confronted by situations where it's not going to be what you want to do. And trust me, I want to be like. That's why I like being in Rotary so much. Somebody asked me, I'm going to be president. I'm president-elect, and I'm going to meetings and getting ready for next year. And someone asked me, why do you like to be president? I like to be liked. I do. My human nature. I like to be liked. I like to do things that are good. I like to do things where you get kudos for doing the right thing. Okay? I'm confessing here. I like to do things where people encourage and support and do these things. But I'm telling you, if you decide to do what Elisha did, and you decide to go further and say, enough is not enough. I want more. Because I believe the Lord wants me to have more. If you draw closer to God, if you seek God out, if you really do want what the Lord wants for you, I'm just being honest with you. You are going to find it is difficult. It is a hard thing, as Elijah said to Elisha. But my question for you is, do you want it? Because if you want it, the Lord is capable of giving it to you. Does that make sense? The Lord wants to give us a double portion. But with a double portion of His Spirit comes a double portion of responsibility. Comes a double portion of authority. It's a double portion of power. I mean, Elisha has a little bit of trouble. If you read on, you're going to find out that he gets a little bit kind of funny with his power. Some people, you know, I like it just because I have the same problem as he did. It's a lack of hair on top. And if you read on, you're going to find out that he got a little bit upset with some people who were bugging him about not having hair on top. And he used his power maybe in a way that, but you know, anyways, he was learning. He was learning. But it's funny because when you seek the Lord and when you want to grow closer to Him, when you want to move in and really seek Him, not leave Him, but grow closer to Him, I am telling you, when you seek that double portion, God is able to give it. But with it comes responsibility. With it comes challenge. With it comes great opportunity, but also whenever we do something that we're doing right and we're seeking the Lord, what is Satan doing? For every path that we set, that the Lord sets for us, what does Satan do? He sets a parallel path just a little bit off so we can basically end up following the wrong path, correct? You ever notice that? Sometimes it's 180 degree difference, okay? Other times it's just a small degree of difference. I don't know if you've noticed this. This is the most dangerous way that Satan works. And I see it all the time. It's small compromises, isn't it? It's the small stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff. That's kind of the way I you know, when I was growing up, that's kind of the way we looked at things. Don't sweat the small stuff. But you know what? When you're walking that Christian life, it's the small things. Because the small things can get you off onto that parallel path. And it's the parallel path that's so deceiving because it looks right, it feels right, and yet that's because it's parallel. And yet the Lord wants us to be on the right path, His way. That makes sense? I got a cold, so I'm kind of foggy. So if I'm making a mistake, please be graceful. But I prayed about this. I was like, you know, Lord, I would really like to speak on the transfiguration because I like Peter and the way that he kind of embarrasses himself, you know, saying he wants to make, you know, the dwellings or the tents and stay on this mountaintop experience. I understand that. That makes sense. And he kept drawing me back to this passage. I said, okay, Lord, what do you want us to learn from this? What is your desire for cross resurrection for me and for the people here today, not knowing it was going to be like the Arctic outside? What is it that you want us to know? And I think it is that he wants us to not be satisfied with enough. He doesn't want us to settle. He doesn't want us to say to stay at Bethel or at Jericho or even on the west side of Jordan. He wants us to seek that double portion. And the good news for us, just as it was for the disciples, is He wants to give it to us. That He wants us to walk in His power, in His authority and with His power. Doesn't He? He wants us to see things that we can't explain. He wants us to see people healed and lives changed and fantastic and wonderful things happen. Because we're drawing closer. My question for you is, are you willing? Because I have good news for you. If you're willing, our God is able. I say that all the time, and I mean it. If you're willing, our God is able. Don't settle for Bethel. Don't even settle for Jericho. Don't settle for the west side of the Jordan. Seek the Lord. Seek him. Because I look out and I see tremendous gifts, tremendous people of God, tremendous and wonderfully made children of God. He can use you in such powerful ways. Do you know that? He can use you. I mean, God has placed you in the places where you are, not by accident. You're not here on this frigid Sunday morning by accident. God has placed you here for a reason, because he wants you, like Elisha, to say, I'm not going to leave. I'm going to go further. Enough is not enough for me. I want more. More of God. More of his power. I mean, we always get more forgiveness, right? That's the blessing of being his child. We always get more forgiveness and grace. But it's more power and authority. Brothers and sisters, God wants to do mighty things. I look at you and I see where God has placed you. We got people from Eastern here. We got people at U of M. We got people in jobs all over the place. God has placed you strategically because you can be his people. You can be like Elijah. You can be the person that just exudes the truth that Jesus is alive and well and doing mighty things even today. Amen? If you're willing, our God is able. And he still wants to pour out his spirit. He still wants to do mighty things. When someone asked me, you know, what does it mean to be a charismatic Lutheran a long time ago? And I said, well, it's kind of like this. When we're baptized, we get the Holy Spirit. The question is, does the Holy Spirit get us? And when I see Elijah going through this, I see what I experienced going through my experience with the Holy Spirit was like a double portion. I already had the Holy Spirit. I knew God. I was a believer. But when the people prayed over me and the Lord filled me with his Holy Spirit and gave me his gifts, it's like a double portion. I knew that he was alive and well and supernaturally working in the world. He is capable of doing what he says he's going to do. And that was awesome. That's my prayer for each one of you. As we end this Epiphany season, may God truly reveal himself to you, just like he did with Peter, James, and John. May he truly be alive and well in your life. And may you not settle for enough. May you strive even for a double portion. Amen. Okay, Don.
Thanks so much for the words we heard today.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.